Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Welcome to the serialized audiobook of The All-Pro, Season 4 of the Galactic Football League series. Written and performed by Scott Sigler. The All-Pro is also available as an ebook, a paperback, and as an ad-free, unabridged audiobook. For links to purchase any version, visit scottsigler.com/theallpro, one word, no spaces, or find it at scottsigler.com/books. Preseason Week 2, January 8th to January 14th, 2684. For the second week of preseason, the entire team moved up to the touchback. Quentin had insisted. Two practices a day, plus an evening conditioning session. Some of the humans in Heavy G complained, defensive end Alexander Michnik the loudest, but Quentin didn't give anyone an option. Winning a title had been a worthy goal, but it seemed somehow theoretical. But not anymore. Everyone knew the Krakens could take it all, if they worked hard enough and they got a little lucky. So once again, the touchback rang with the sounds of practice and team life. Only veterans so far. Invited free agents would arrive tomorrow to try out for the team. Rookies arrived in 3 days. With the familiar teammates on board, Quentin decided to address something he'd left undone during the previous season. Even with John Tweedy and Don Pine along for support, he wasn't looking forward to it. Last season, Quentin had dined with his key offensive linemen. He would have called the experience several things, including crazy, scarring, and possibly mentally shattering. One word he would have never used, however, was civilized. And yet, as Quentin looked at the six key defensive players tearing into an animal that was almost as big as they were, the offensive lineman's feast seemed like proper etiquette by comparison. "Hi, one," Quentin said. "Don, is it always like this?" John Tweedy pulled off his shirt and tossed it aside. "Don't want to get it bloody," he said. "If you eat it, someone has to kill it," flashed across his chest in big red letters. He punched Quentin in the shoulder. "Good times down in the farm, Q. You're going to love it." The walk here had seemed so familiar. Like the offensive linemen, the defensive players had their own forested chamber inside the touchback. No hallways, no rooms, just an open space filled with red moss, tightly coiled green ground cover plants, waist-high bushes with broad yellow leaves, and brown vines that reached up and spread across the ceiling. More red moss hung down from the dense vines, making the artificial surfaces of the ship all but vanish from sight. The main difference, however, couldn't be missed. The offensive lineman had a stone table with a blood trough lining the edges. The defense, their dinner table, was a clear patch of dirt. A clear patch of black-stained, bloody dirt. The yellowish bones of strange, alien animals lined the clear patch, remnants of meals gone by. And in the center of that death circle, 500 pounds of a beast Quentin instantly wished he'd never seen. The key defenders swarmed on the creature. Mumo Killowee and Mayan Ickle weighed it down with their bulk. Para Yet pinned it with his multi-jointed arms. Chat E. Rearit and Wanna Taggle bit down with mouths full of triangular teeth. Black blood flew, as did stray bits of flesh. The prey creature screamed and screamed. John pumped his left fist.
Look at him squirm! Oh, you got lucky, Q. The more they fight, the better they taste.
John ran forward and dove onto the creature, managing one big bite before the slick blood made him slide off the animal and onto the clearing's dirt. Quentin stared at the scrambling, bloody, spindly mess fighting for its life.
Stay still, he thought to his feet. Don't you dare run. Stay still. We have to do this.
Yes, he was talking to his feet. Every atom of his body wanted to get the hell out of this living nightmare. Don's hand gripped his shoulder.
Try to relax, Quentin. Just follow John's lead. He loves it.
That's because John is crazy.
True, Don said. Stay calm. This'll be over before you know it.
Blood flew. The screams slowed.
But I'll remember it, won't I?
Don nodded slowly.
Yeah, you'll remember every nasty, disgusting, disturbing moment of it.
But I'll get used to it, right? It won't be so bad next year, right?
Don smiled.
Do you want me to lie to you?
Please.
Kid, it won't be so bad next year.
Glad to hear it.
Black blood jetted out in a misty cloud, splattering smelly droplets on Quentin's face.
Kid, Don said, do you have your happy place?
My happy place isn't happy enough for this.
You're right, but you gotta do it anyway.
Quentin shook his head.
No, no way, I can't.
Don did what Don always did. He held up his right hand, showing off the GFL championship rings on his ring and index finger. He waggled them. Gold and jewels reflected the light. Quentin looked at them as he always did, with raw envy and lust. But it wasn't enough. Not this time.
I need more, he said. Let me wear one.
Don's head snapped away from the grotesque scene of the key and John Tweedy feasting on the still-living monstrosity. At first, Don seemed angry, but that quickly faded. He understood. He pulled the ring off his index finger and handed it over. Quentin slid it on his ring finger, noting that it fit perfectly, even though he was bigger than Don Pine. Quentin held the hand in front of his face, palm out, ignoring the black blood strands crisscrossing his skin. A GFL championship ring. Red ruby, sparkling. Gold glowing with promise. On his hand. He wanted nothing more than this. He would give anything, do anything, to attain it. Quentin nodded, took a deep breath. He took off the ring and handed it back. Don took it.
That what you needed?
Yep, Quentin said. Let's eat.
The two quarterbacks stepped forward.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Quentin tore off his helmet, whipped it in a long arc, and smashed it into the blue turf.
Damn it, Perilous! That's the hardest you can run! My Tweety can sprint faster than you!
The fullback had his hands on his knees, head down, shoulder pads lurching rhythmically as his chest drew in sucking breaths. The rest of the team stretched across the black end zone's goal line, all in various stages of exhaustion. Some of them weren't even standing. They'd fallen to the ground, or off to the side, vomiting. Quentin was damn tired as well. 50-yard sprints after a full practice will do that to you. But he wouldn't show it to his team. Holcore floated in his cart, saying nothing. He seemed quite content to let someone else do the yelling for a change. Only the Scalorno looked ready for more, but even they showed signs of fatigue, their abdomens swelling and shrinking as they drew in air to fuel their exhausted muscles. Perilous didn't say anything, didn't even pick up his head. Quentin walked up to him, leaned down to scream at the older man.
Hey, Grandpa! I'm talking to you! Imagine it's the fourth quarter! We're down by 6! Becca is hurt! You have to block for me so we can win the shucking game! Dig deep, man! Stand up!
Tom straightened, hands on hips, eyes scrunched.
My ankle! Killing me!
I'm trying, Q!
There is no try!
Quentin screamed at the entire team.
We're too soft! We have to toughen up if we're going to make the playoffs!
Tom bent forward again, then threw up. Vomit dripped from his face mask in long strings. Quentin threw his hands in the air.
I don't care if you all puke! Get back on the line! 5 more sprints!
We've never run this hard, said a deep voice.
Quentin turned to see defensive end Ibrahim Khomeini, all 6'10", 525 pounds of him, step out of the line.
You're pushing too hard, Barnes.
Too hard? Too hard? Do you think the Wabash Wolfpack is sitting on their asses right now?
Khomeini gestured to the other players.
We're working our tails off.
It's not enough,
Quentin screamed.
And maybe you should worry about practicing harder, Khomeini. You took off, what, 10 plays in practice because your knee hurts?
The big heavy G's eyes narrowed.
Don't you question my intensity, little man.
Quentin closed the distance, stared down at the slightly shorter, much denser sentient.
You will practice hard. You will run, and you will do it now. I don't ask anyone here to do anything more than what I'm willing to do. Now get back on the shucking line!
Khomeini glared, then walked back to the goal line. This was what Quentin wanted, to drive his teammates to the point of failure, then make them push through that, make them dig deeper than they knew they could. You practice like you play. This would all pay off come the regular season.
All of you, up! If you're puking, you can run and puke at the same time! This is for the playoffs, damn it!
Jew Tweedy stepped off the line, looked back at his teammates.
Come on, you losers! If Quinn can do it, we can do it! I want a ring!
John Tweedy joined in.
I want 2 rings! Right here, Krakens! It starts right here! 5 more sprints! Just 5 more!
Heads nodded. Players got up, stood straight, pulled helmets back on their heads. Quentin jogged to the line, as did the Tweedies. Quentin shouted to his teammates,
"You can do this! On three! On three! Ready?"
Feet dug in. Hands dropped to the blue turf. Eyes narrowed as sentients fought their own bodies and minds to do just one more.
Hot, hot, hot!
The team sprinted off the line. Quentin's legs burned. His arms felt like noodles. His stomach roiled. He would be the next one to puke. And when he did, he'd get back on the line and run again. After all, he didn't ask anyone to do anything more than he was willing to do himself. January 9th, 2684. Free agent day had come. Quentin stood in the touchback's orange end zone, waiting until Coach Hochor needed him. Last season's free agent day had brought in only a few players, just running backs and tight ends. Those positions were no longer in need. At running back, the Krakens had Jude Tweedy backed up by Yasud Murphy and Jay Martinez. At tight end, Crazy George Starcher backed up by Yotaro Kobayashi and the newly badass Rick Warburg. So, those problems had been solved. This year, the Krakens faced a new problem, defensive secondary. The first string could still do a good job against most passing attacks, but if any of the four starters suffered injuries, the Krakens were in trouble. Standish's pregnancy had thinned the defensive backfield. Sagatuck and Rehoboth, the backup safety and free safety, respectively, were nowhere near first-string caliber if any starters got hurt. Stockbridge, the third cornerback on the depth chart, was a solid player, but Tiburon, another backup safety, looked terrible. She had slowed considerably in the offseason. Quentin wondered if she would even make the team at all. The Krakens had been counting on a pair of rookies to flesh out the defensive backfield, but Gladwin and Cooperstown had been signed by the Wabash Wolfpack. So, it was either free agency or pray that the starters stayed healthy for the regular season and for the playoffs. Seven Sklorno defensive backs milled about at midfield. They wore practice whites. Quentin didn't recognize any of them. 2 years ago, he couldn't tell one Sklorno from the next. Now, he knew the species well enough to know he'd never seen these players before. No star defensive backs in the bunch, to say the least. The fact that they were here at all meant they were either Tier 3 players not good enough to be taken as rookies, Tier 2 players looking for experience, or they were Tier 1 veterans who had been cut from other teams. 100 yards away in the black end zone, Quentin saw offensive linemen, as well as Alexander Michnik and Ibrahim Khomeini, the starting defensive ends. They were working with the only other free agent candidate, a defensive end named Cliff Frost, who had played 2 seasons for the T3 Idaho Titans, then a year with the T2 Dewey Piranha, before Dewey cut him due to a punctured lung that didn't heal fast enough. Then, just last year in the 26-83 T2 season, Frost signed on with Amata Vapai. A foot injury, apparently, had sidelined Frost, then the pie cut him loose. His career riddled with injuries, no one knew Frost's real potential. Last year, the Krakens had two backup defensive ends, Bana Teru and Wana Tagel. The orbiting death snagged Bana in free agency, so he was gone. Unexpected, but not a crisis, as long as the Krakens found a quality player to fill that backup role. Greedock had already signed rookie defensive end Rich Palmer. If Frost also made the team, then Wana's days might be numbered. Quentin had nothing to do with the defensive roster. His job was to try and make these defensive back prospects look like idiots. Those who didn't look like idiots might land a contract for the season. Hochor's floating golf cart flew overhead.
Barnes, huddle up! Let's get started!
Quentin held up his hands and waved his fingers inward, calling to his receivers. Milford, Haywick, and Halawa ran to him. They wore their orange practice jerseys.
Okay, ladies, we need to see what these defensive backs can do. I want hard cuts so we can see their reaction time. If you can put a shoulder pad into him, do it. But don't take any big hits this close to the regular season. If I throw too high, just let it go. The three receivers shuddered.
But Quentin Barnes,
Milford said,
to not catch your pass is to sin. We are all worthy to catch your glorious passes.
He sighed. Even in a stupid drill, the Sklorno didn't know how to go easy. As your, deity or whatever, I am ordering you to all only catch the good passes, understand? Bad passes are, they're a test. You guys get it?
Milford stared, her four armored eye stalks twitching atop her glossy black helmet.
Yes! Yes, O Quentin Barnes! You are testing our ability to follow your holy will!
Whatever, Quentin said. Just don't get hurt. Now, line up.
Quentin stood and walked to the 50-yard line. Haywick lined up wide left, Milford near right, and the much larger Halawa to the far right. Hokor's amplified voice rang through the stadium.
Vacaville, Breedsville, take the corners. Woman-to-woman coverage. Fairgrove at safety. Rosebush at free safety. Basic two-deep defense. Give it your all, women. You won't get any chances to make a mistake.
No surprise that Hokor immediately poured on the pressure. Quentin bent, then slapped the ball in his hands for the fake snap. He dropped back five steps as his receivers shot off the line. He waited only a second and a half before seeing that Halawa had Breedsville beat and that Rosebush would be slow to pick up the open receiver. Quentin fired the ball downfield. It hit Halawa in stride at the 15. She cruised into the end zone, untouched. Quentin should have been happy about that, but this wasn't about succeeding at offense. He wanted to see these defensive backs make stops.
Again!
Hokor screamed.
You worthless defensive backs are embarrassing my beautiful field! Run it again!
Too bad it wasn't a real game. Quentin and his receivers shredded the seven defensive back candidates. There was a reason these players hadn't been signed or drafted. Quentin, Halawa, Milford, and Haywick were at the 50, standing at the side of Hokor's cart, which had dropped down to the blue field. Hokor was paying them the ultimate honor, asking their opinion about the abilities of the free agent defensive backs.
Rosebush,
Hokor said.
I'm ready,
the three Sklorno said in unison.
Vacaville.
The three receivers looked at each other, something they could do simultaneously courtesy of their free-moving eye stalks.
Possible,
Haywick said.
She isn't worthy of looking directly at the holy visage of Quentin Barnes, but possibly she could stand in shame on the sidelines and pray for some more talent.
Quentin laughed and shook his head. The Sklorno had such an interesting way of saying things.
I agree,
Hokor said.
Vacaville isn't a starter by any stretch, but we have roster room. What about Fairgrove? Unworthy,
Haywick said.
She should be killed,
Milford said.
And eaten,
Halawa said. Hokor entered some data into his message board.
Fairgrove, no. Oh, holy great Hokor,
Haywick said.
May I be so insolent as to offer an opinion without one being asked of me by one as great as you, by one so elevated above the cosmos that stars shrink away in fear, so amazing that...
Just say it,
Hokor said.
Yes, you may speak.
Breedsville is slightly more worthy than Vacaville. She should still be banned from looking directly at Quentin Barnes, but she is suitable for a backup.
Hokor typed.
Fine. And the rest?
Unworthy,
Haywick said.
They should be killed,
Milford said.
And eaten,
Halawa said. Hokor gave the Quith leader equivalent of a heavy sigh. He slid his message board into a slot inside the cart.
Your input is appreciated, players. That is all.
Hokor's cart lifted without a sound, then floated to the black end zone, where Cliff Frost was still fighting his way through drills. Quentin walked off the field, unable to shake the pessimistic feeling that the Krakens were in trouble. If the starting defensive backs didn't get hurt, they would be okay, but no way could all four Sklorno defensive backs go a full season without suffering at least some kind of injury. Gloria Ogawa's tactic to sign the rookie backs that Hokor wanted had been a devious yet brilliant maneuver. Quen wondered if that move would pay off for the Wolfpack in Week 9, when the Krakens traveled to Wabash. If Ionath lost to its arch-rival for the second year in a row, Quentin knew that Greedock would have a Sklorno-like opinion. That the Krakens were unworthy, they should be killed, they should be eaten.
You have been listening to The All-Pro, Season 4 of the Galactic Football League series. Written and performed by Scott Sigler. Produced by Ariok Morningstar with post-production by Steve Rickyberg. For more information on Scott and more free stories, go to scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song The Kids Are Coming For You by the band Super Weapon. You're trying to say I'm looking at you. The kids are coming for you. Nothing you can do. They're coming for you.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.